Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
And it is the Sports Hangover. Gus not in today, on vacation. In for him, I'm Mark Shafisi, along with former LSU Tiger Renee Nato. You can read him at CrescentCitySports.com. This hour on the line, our special guest, Ron Swoboda from the Miracle Mets in 1969. His new book is Here's the Catch. Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you guys for reaching out. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, Ron. And Ron, how long did putting this book take you? What was the length of time it took you to put this together?
Probably started writing stuff about, 3 years ago, and had a pile of stories and didn't know quite what to do with it. I had an agent in New York who was calling me and asking me how things were going, and my report to him was, I'm kind of dead in the water. I needed somebody to help me organize this thing. And he hooked me up with a guy in New York to help me edit this down, winnow it down into a manuscript form. And, this was all keyed towards the 50th celebration of the 69 team. And so I submitted it, and my wife and I were up in Maine on vacation. First time I've ever been in the state of Maine. I got a phone call from my agent. He said, "Hey, we just got an offer from St. Martin's Press." And I went, "And you haven't taken it yet?" So that kind of started the ball rolling, and I've had three book signings here in New Orleans at Octavia Book, at Barnes & Noble on Vets, and at last night at the Garden District Bookshop, and it's all been good.
Are you going up to New York to do book signings, Ron?
Yes. It'll be a pretty feverish 8-day trip at the end of this month. I turned 75 years old. On June 30th, I'll be in New York. We'll be doing a bunch of New York Mets stuff in relation to the 50th celebration of the 69 championship team. And then there'll be some book signings on both ends of that and in the middle. So it's going to be pretty crazy/good.
Yeah, Ron, Renee, how are you doing? You know, I'm one of these friends of Ron that I know.
Friends?
Acquaintances. That I can, we go back, and I can listen to Ron tell stories all day. I mean, I'm so fascinated by that time and the way he played games, guys he played with. And I know you're going back to the reunion, the 28th and the 30th of June. Is that correct, Ron?
Yeah, that's the big weekend at Citi Field, and it's going to be a lot of fun because, there's a couple of 69 guys, Art Shamsky, who platooned in right field with me, and Ed Cranepool, who just the first baseman who platooned with Don Clendenin, and Eddie just got a new kidney about 5 weeks ago, and he's doing well. So I see those guys a lot, but an awful lot of the other guys we don't see very much, and this will be a chance for us to visit and do the 50th, and we better do it right because I don't think there's going to be 100.
I want to ask you a couple of things. During that 69 push, you guys were trailing the Cubs August 14th by 10 games.
Yeah.
You won 38 out of 49 of the final to turn it around. During that September push, Ron, you had hit a grand slam against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then 2 days later, you had two round trippers against Steve Carlton and the Cardinals in that 4-3 win. You guys caught fire that final month or so.
Yeah, some crazy stuff happened in that series when I hit the salami against Pittsburgh. We won a doubleheader against the Pirates, 1-0, 1-0. The starting pitchers in both games, Jerry Kuzman and Don Cardwell, both drove in the only run. That's crazy. And then, of course, you mentioned the Steve Carlton game. It was a makeup game in St. Louis, and we went in there, and, you know, I didn't hit Carlton very good. Who did? Guy's heading for the Hall of Fame, and you know, I'm just I'm meat on the platter for him. And for some reason, on this day, I had gone down to the batting cages they had down behind the left field fence in St. Louis and worked with Ralph Kiner, who was a great right-handed hitter and one of our broadcasters. And I don't know, he got my feet under me and got me feeling a little better at home plate. And we go out there, and Carlton's having the greatest day of his life. He strikes me out the first time. They're up 1-0. I go up the next time. He has two strikes on me with a runner on, and I bang a two-run home run off a fastball. He strikes me out the third time. They go up 3-2, and I'm up the fourth time with a runner on base and two strikes, and I bang a slider that just makes it over the left field fence. And, you know, you look back and you say, that's the greatest day he had, and it's the greatest day I ever had, and we win the ball game 4-3.
You know, you look at the, I look at the roster, and I can still remember the guys, Jerry Grody behind the plate, Ed Cranepool, first base, Boswell at second, Bud Harrelson, shortstop, Wayne Garrett. You had a couple of guys in the outfield with you, Cleon Jones and Tommy Agee, were not only good hitters, Ron, but they both stole a lot of bases. What was there was a lot of camaraderie on this team. It wasn't just about good athletes. You guys got along very well.
You know, Cleon Jones, who lives over in Mobile, is still a really good friend of mine, and we hang out a good bit. And we did when we were playing. We hung out. We had great relations up and down that lineup. You know, we had black and white and conservative and liberal, and nobody cared about that. We were out there to try to win ball games, and that is really all that mattered. And, you know, everybody going out there and giving it what they had to give on any given day.
Did you have a clubhouse clown, Ron?
You know, we had a clubhouse lawyer. Don Clendenin came over at the end of June, and, you know, there was an expression in Major League Baseball, a guy that was kind of loud in the clubhouse, in everybody's business, always offering advice, and Clendenin was that kind of guy, except he knew how to do it. He got on everybody's case. He kept it light, and he kept it fun in the clubhouse, but he was technically a clubhouse lawyer, and he was the only clubhouse lawyer I ever heard of who was studying law and eventually got his law degree, passed the bar, and practiced law till he passed away a few years back. So he was authentic, as were a lot of the guys.
That's the voice of Ron Swoboda of the Miracle Mets, and 50th anniversary of the 69 championship coming up. This year, Ron's new book is Here's the Catch. Ron, Tom Seaver, 1969, 25-7, 2.21 ERA, 273 innings. Pitchers pitched 200 innings, and they want to shut him down nowadays. What was it like playing behind Tom Seaver when he was on the mound?
You know, we had two guys. Tom Seaver, obviously, heading for the Hall of Fame from the get-go, okay? The day Tom Seaver showed up in 1967, he was the same pitcher who eventually made it into the Hall of Fame. He came. He had Hall of Fame stuff. He had a Hall of Fame attitude. He had Hall of Fame confidence from day one. There wasn't any break-in period for Tom Seaver, and he was going to win another. He was going to win a Cy Young in 1969 for what he did helping us. But we had Jerry Kuzman, too, behind him, and Kuzman was a warrior and a guy that you had a 1-2 combo like Seaver and Kuzman. You just didn't have many long losing streaks. It was hard to do with those guys popping up. We were a five-man starting rotation, and everybody was ready to go.
What was Tug McGraw like, Ron?
You know, he wasn't a... Tug McGraw is one of the best people, one of the best humans I ever met in my life. Tug's heart was as big as the ballpark. And, you know, he was a guy that could go out there and pitch with two or three guys on base. And it almost seemed like he needed a couple of guys on base to get him self-focused, you know. But Tug was a man for all seasons. You know, he pitched in our World Series in 69. He closed out the final game in the 1980 World Series for the Philadelphia Phillies in the first World Series. That franchise, and they were a lot older franchise than us, that was their first World Series win. And, you know, somebody once said to Tug, they asked him, what'd you do with your World Series money you won in those two World Series? And Tug would always say, I spent most of it on Irish whiskey and women, he said, and the rest of it I just wasted.
You know, Ron, you spent 1 year when you came up. I know we're talking about the 69 Mets, but you came up 1 year. You spent 1 year in AA Williamsport before making the jump, and you rewarded the parent club by clubbing 15 home runs before the All-Star break. We've spoken about this. The skipper of the Mets that year in 65 was legendary Casey Stengel, and he was a character.
You know, Stengel was a living legend. And, you know, that word is tossed around. Stengel was the real deal. He had all that, you know, all those skins on the wall with the Yankees through the late 40s, early, all through the 50s, and winning all those championships with the Yankees. And he was the real deal. And you know, the Yankees fired him for being too old. You know, he turned 70 years old, and the Yankees ushered him out the door, and they told him that's why they fired him, that 70 years old was too old to be managing in the big leagues. Well, he got hired immediately by the New York Mets, and at the press conference, you know, he talked about the Yankees firing him for being 70 years old, and he said in the press conference, he said, I'll never make that mistake again. You know, this was a man who could talk 50 years of baseball. And, you know, he might get the names a little wrong, but he knew who he was talking about, and he remembered the situation. And Stengelese, to me, was loaded with nuggets of good stories, of good information for a young kid like me. You know, and the crazy thing is, you know, I'm going on 75 at the end of this month. Casey Stengel is, you know, was the same age as I'm going to be. You know, he was the same age, you know, when I saw him as a 19, 20 year old.
You talked about the pitching staff. You played in the era with Bob Gibson, Don Drysdale, Koufax, Juan Marichal, and Fergie Jenkins. Boy, I tell you what, that was no let up. When you went out, when you were facing a pitcher, you faced some serious strong arms.
Well, I think the National League was clearly deeper in talent for a couple of reasons. If anybody ever read David Halberstam's book, August of 64, he talks about how the American League was a little slower in employing African-American and Latin-American talent. The National League was well ahead of them because of teams like the Pirates and teams like the Giants, and mainly, but not exclusively. So I thought, and have always felt like, the talent during the time I was in the National League was thicker than the American League. There's a reason why there's a stretch back then when the National League won like 19 out of 20 All-Star games. So I believe that. So we were facing day in and day out tougher competition, and maybe, just maybe, that had something to do with the fact that we snuck up on the Orioles as huge underdogs in the 1969 World Series.
That's the voice of Ron Swoboda. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Ron, stay with us. We're going to keep you for another segment. His new book is Here's the Catch. I'm Mark Shafisi along with Renee Nato. You're listening to
ESPN New Orleans. sizzling hot summer savings at Craig LeBlanc Toyota's Summer Sales Event. Our new Express store makes shopping online easier than ever. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. Or buy a Craig LeBlanc Toyota 2018 Camry pre-owned for just $17,990. It's Craig LeBlanc Toyota's Summer Sales Event. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com. We now offer home delivery. Tundra model 8239 MSRP 38449, $4,500 rebate, $959 discount. Camry pre-owned, stock number 290271A. Several to choose, plus DTNL.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
$10,000 for clunkers and junkers. $10,000 for any trade. Home of Clayton Homes. Trade in your old mobile home or anything with the title, regardless of the condition. Does your old mobile home rust, leak, or mold? We will take it for $10,000. Trade it in for something clean, neat, and new. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes. Home of Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Be sure to check us out on Facebook.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Mark Shafisi, Renee Nato in for Gus. Next hour, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Also coming up, Mike Triplett, ESPN. Right now on the line, Ron Swoboda. His new book, Here's the Catch. Ron, how can people get a copy of the book?
Well, it is in bookstores, and I think it came out on June the 11th, so it's been a pretty fun little ride. You know, I don't think I've got two books in me, but this was a story I felt like I've been telling these stories to friends for a long time, and Rob Kuig, a good friend of mine here in New Orleans, said to me, you know, you need to write this. And I never felt terribly compelled to write it all down. And he said, if you don't get it together in time for the 50th anniversary, nobody buys it. And I went, I think I get that. And so I got to work. And, you know, to me, this is just a guy that was, you know, my perspective and what I tried to do was just let people inside on what it feels like to be an average player who got together with 24 other guys and lived the dream. And it isn't all, glory. You know, you go through these awful slumps and what you feel like. And I want to let people in on what it feels like to go through some of that and how hanging in there is the only thing you can do. And everybody that's ever played sports or ever done anything knows hanging in there and being honest with yourself is the most important part of the whole deal. And you know, when you're in the dregs, when you're in the weeds, it's more important to believe in that than ever. And that's what I try to bring out in the book.
That's the voice of Ron Swoboda, a longtime broadcaster here in the Crescent City, also a member of the 1969 New York Mets. He made that catch. His new book is Here's the Catch. You want to talk with Ron? Few minutes left. 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. Ron, I was looking at the roster and even the coaching staff of your Mets teams, and Yogi Berra was one of the coaches. Tell me about Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra was the one and only, okay? You know, Yogi had all those Yogi-isms, like, you know, he might say, hey, you know, you got to go to your friend's funeral because if you don't go to theirs, they won't go to yours.
That's true.
You know, and everybody would shake their heads. You know, it's like the restaurant's too busy. Nobody goes there anymore. Or, you know, you go down the road, he give you directions. You know, you come to a fork in a road, you take it. You know, and I had one with him in my rookie year. Yogi was our first base coach in Cincinnati in old Crosley Field. Bases were loaded. I hit a ball up towards center field, and there was a 10-foot-high cinder block wall with a yellow stripe. And above that yellow stripe was a wooden background. And if you hit above the yellow, it's a home run. Well, that ball I hit comes against that wood, falls straight down. The center fielder concedes it, throws it in kind of underhanded, and the umpire signaling in play. And, of course, the base runners are confused. I get a single and an RBI. We go on and lose the game. Yogi runs out there and argues like hell and gets thrown out of the game. And, of course, afterwards, after we lose the game, the writers from New York all come in and they clutter around Yogi's locker. And that old Cincinnati clubhouse was a little place, so everybody can hear what they're talking about. And they just asked Yogi, said, Yogi, what'd you say to get the heave-ho, you know? And Yogi, as only Yogi could say, goes, all I told him was, if you couldn't hear that ball hit that wood, you're blind. And everybody in the clubhouse said, shake their head, that's right. Just like everything else he said that wasn't literally correct, but you knew what he meant.
He made the point.
Exactly.
Ron, it's the title of the book, Tell Me About the Catch, or what you thought when you saw the ball come off the bat, and really just selling out and going parallel to the ground, and you got that ball.
Yeah, I was a guy that had made a lot of mistakes as a young outfielder in the big leagues. I got there, as Renee related early, I got there after 1 year in the minor leagues. So, you know, I had to work a lot harder in the big leagues in front of everybody to try to make myself a presentable outfielder, and Eddie Yost hit me thousands of line drives and ground balls left and right over my head in front of me, and I practiced at speed because I wanted to be the guy out there all the time. I wanted to be an outfielder. I thought I could be an outstanding outfielder, and I had worked hard on that. So what I was as an outfielder was a little behind conventional wisdom. So when we're in game four, we're up one game, we're up 1-0 in that game. We're up 2-1 in the World Series. They've got runners at first and third, and it's the top of the 9th inning. If we get them out, we win the game. Seaver is pitching to Brooks Robinson, and he hits a line drive to my right, and off I go. You know, and you know, people say, what were you thinking? Joe Pignatano, one of our coaches, said to me one time, and I think he was, it wasn't a joke. He said, don't think, Swoboda, you'll only hurt the team. You know, it's like, so I'm off like a shot, and I took the best route I could take. I trained myself to get a better jump on the ball. I got a great jump on it, and 90% of the way there, I don't think I'm going to arrive on time. But somehow I laid out to my backhand, and that thing hit me in the web about 2 inches before it finds grass, and I felt like, man, it is not getting away. And I made the catch. The tying run scores, but the runner at first base goes back. We get him out, and we win it in the bottom of the 10th on when the Orioles throw away a bunt, and the runner scores from second. And we're up 3-1 in a World Series. We got a little bit of a chokehold on them, and instead of it, you know, if they had scored a couple of times and went ahead, they win that ball game and even the series at 2 games apiece. So I felt so fortunate to be right there at the fulcrum of the series and made a play that, you know, a lot of people say you shouldn't even have tried to catch it. I can't think of any other way that I could have gotten there any quicker. You know, I just went with the best instincts I had and degree of difficulty be damned, and that's how I caught the thing.
You know, appropriate question, Ron. We have a few minutes left, but I know you came here to replace Buddy D, but you've stayed here and you've developed a love relationship with this city, and
you
really you've taken on to the city. The city has adopted you as a native son, if you will, and New Orleans has become near and dear to you.
You bet your life. You know, there was so much compelling about the history of New Orleans. I got to hang out in some of the music clubs in New Orleans and after the broadcast at night and hang out with George Porter and James Rivers and Red Tyler and, you know, David Torkanowski and people that are, mean so much to local jazz music was my favorite. And, you know, and I learned a lot about the history. I'll take friends when they come to New Orleans on a little car tour around Metairie Cemetery and talk about, you know, who's buried here and what that means in New Orleans history. And I do it just because if somebody's interested, I love to do it for them.
Well, and last thing, Ron, we talked about the pitchers. You play with a lot of great players on other teams, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Willie Mays, Lou Brock, Hank Aaron, and Roberto Clemente. But a guy who was near and dear to you is from the Crescent City. Rusty Staub was a close friend, and he was an outstanding player during that era.
Rusty Staub was one of the most amazing people that I was ever around. I mean, you know, what he did in New York for the firemen and police after the buildings went down in 9/11, you know, was incredible, just incredible. It was an incredible act of human generosity, how he organized the money to pay the widows and survivors of that whole thing. And that issue is not over with. And, you know, forget what Rusty was as a player and how close he is to having Hall of Fame numbers. Depending on how you look at him, he was that level of a player. And I was proud to get to know him. I know his sister Sally and his brother Chuck and a lot of friends he grew up with who are wonderful people.
You know, talking about Rusty Staub, when Ted Williams passed away, I was down the dial, and I was Buddy D's producer, and I wound up hosting Sports Talk that night, and we had a plan, whatever it was, I changed it to talk about Ted Williams. We had Mel Parnell on, and
yeah,
among other people, and Buddy did a few minutes with me on the phone, and Buddy talked about a news story he did that obviously was in the 60s. Ted Williams came down to scout Rusty Staub playing at Jesuit High School. And I'm assuming it's when he was with the Senators, and Buddy
said
Ted
tried to sign him.
Yeah, Buddy said Ted Williams said about Rusty Staub, that is the best swing since me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rusty, you could wake him up on Christmas morning, and Rusty could hit. That's the best way to put it. It was a sweet swing, and he knew he could hit. And you look at the numbers; they speak for themselves.
That is the voice of Ron Swoboda. Ron's new book is Hear the Catch. Go ahead and get it out of your favorite bookstore. Celebrating the 50-year anniversary of the 1969 Miracle Mets. Ron, thank you so much for the time. A great book, and I hope people go out there and get it.
Thank you, Mark. You and Renee have a wonderful day, and thanks for reaching out. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Ron Swoboda, and like you said, Renee, an adopted New Orleanian. He is New Orleans. Along with Renee Nato, I am Mark Shafisi. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
power to run your business just got a boost with E-Tail's all-fiber network. Our local experts are in your area connecting businesses and customers faster than ever. And now, for a limited time, get connected with phone and internet for only $85. That means reliability and fiber speed for your business for only $85. Plus, the local service that you deserve. Call us today or visit etailbusiness.com. E-Tail Business, empowering your business to do more.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
No Gus today. In for him, Renee Nato and Mark Shafisi, along with the Jordan Kleber. Joey running the mothership for us in the in-home of Thibodeau. I'm Mark Shafisi. The number to dial in, 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. Back to the guest lines for Rafael Esparza. He's a handicapper at DocSports.com, a weekly staple here on the Sports Hangover. Rafael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, Rafael, with the injuries in the in the last week with Golden State, what are the odds for them to win a championship next year?
It's crazy. You can get anywhere between 14-1 to 10-1 to 8-1. I mean, it's really up in the air what we're hearing today. I mean, I even seen a 5-1. Pretty much the staple is the Milwaukee Bucks. Pretty much everywhere I've seen are the favorites, anywhere between 4-1 all the way up to 7-1. Is what we're seeing. No matter what, I do believe KD comes back for Golden State. I also think Thompson comes back, but Thompson won't be back until after their All-Star break, and we're hearing KD won't play at all next year. So it's going to see a wholly different Warriors team. They're going to be tough to even make the playoffs, I think, just because the way Steph Thompson doesn't come back until after the All-Star break.
You know, of the money bet on the NBA Finals, percentage-wise, how much of it went on the Toronto side? How much went on the Golden State side?
We were getting Golden State money all the way until tip-off. I mean, everyone was just betting that maybe Toronto was going to falter off, and we all thought maybe we were going to see a Game 7, especially after maybe a minute left in the fourth quarter, that maybe Toronto was going to not close the game out and lose. So, yeah, we continued to make money, and it was a good day for the books itself when we got to post Toronto Raptors as the championship, because we had so much Warriors money. We actually had a lot of Lakers money, which made me laugh every time I saw how much money people bet on the Lakers to win the championship. But it was a good day for us.
Hey, Rafael, Renee Nato, glad to have you with us today. I know it's kind of early in the process, and I wouldn't expect the New Orleans Pelicans to really compete for a championship right now, next year or even a year after. But with the uncertainty of what's happening with Zion Williamson coming here most likely next Thursday, and then Anthony Davis being shipped out for a trade, in the next couple of months, based on the trades that the Pelicans could make, could the Pelicans get into the fray a little bit and improve their odds for next year?
They could. I think there are playoff teams, depending on who they trade AD, which I do believe I'm hearing he's probably going to be gone by Monday at the latest. I could see them moving up, maybe getting that seventh spot, eighth spot in the playoffs, all depending on where they're. But you have to think the Houston Rockets are probably still going to be there. No matter what the Lakers do, I think they're going to be a much better team. I think the Clippers could be the sleeper because what I'm hearing all morning and all afternoon, that Kawhi Leonard is probably going to be an L.A. Clipper as the season goes. Watch out for the Clippers next season. Just what would Kawhi's stock be if he brought if he got a championship from the Spurs, a championship from the Raptors, and then he gives the Clippers a championship? Wow, talk about an impressive resume.
Yeah, now I'm listening to the Fox shows this morning with Chris Carter, echoing the same thing you're saying, Raphael, that his hunch is that he's headed to the West Coast, and he basically said that's where he wanted to go last year when he went out of San Antonio. But on the way, if he does want up there, he got a championship, so a nice prize that while you're waiting to get where you want to go geographically.
Yeah, and you got to figure, I think the Kawhi haters can't really say anything. I mean, he brought Toronto a ship. I mean, so if he wants to leave, he can leave. He brought them a championship. Now, I can see if they lost maybe in Game 7 in the NBA Finals, and then he does leave. I mean, he might get some ridicule, but I think that helps his stock to leave Toronto and go to L.A., bringing them a championship. No one's going to bombard him for not staying in Toronto. He did his job, brought them a championship. Now maybe bring the Clippers a championship.
Raphael, a lot of the tabloids, college football tabloids and publications are hitting the newsstands now. And there's a lot of interest down here, obviously, in LSU. What's the odds of them getting, and incidentally, the championship game will be played in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome next year. What is the likelihood of LSU perhaps being in that Final Four?
Unless I misread something, is Alabama still playing football? Because until Alabama is not Alabama, it's going to be a hard for an SEC team. I just think to overpass them. LSU's 33-1 to win a championship. I think they might take a very, very, very small step backwards than from last year. I think their schedule's a little bit rougher. I think of the SEC bottom half of the other teams have improved a little bit. I would not be shocked if they take a small step backwards. But I think they're on the right path. I like the way they got some young guys coming in.
On the line with Raphael Esparza, DocSports.com, the handicapper there. And, you know, when you're talking about college football, and especially, say, in the SEC West, if you want a value on a team that you're a fan of other than Alabama, are you kind of looking at, I mean, for season-wide, are you kind of looking at under numbers, things like that, Raphael?
Yeah, I mean, we look at everything when it comes, especially in the SEC, because we're going to get action all the way from the top of Alabama all the way to the bottom of Arkansas and Mississippi. No knock on Mississippi and Arkansas, but we look at both of them. I mean, total season wins is big for us. I mean, we have LSU 12-1 just to win the SEC championship game, so it's a big stack, and I feel bad for the rest of those teams because of Alabama being there. Until Saban retires or leaves and all that, I think Alabama's going to be on top of the SEC. But I think Clemson took a lot of Alabama's thunder in college football. If Clemson continues to roll and dominate the ACC, we might see a flip-flop of dominance between ACC and SEC when it comes to Clemson.
Let me ask you this, because Raphael, to say I'm a better, I'm not. Can you bet on things like Saban retires? Who's going to be the next head coach? Odds there, things like that. Who'll be the second pick in the NBA draft? Are those things you can play in Vegas?
Yes. If you look at Jordan right now, Jordan sees how much crazy stuff that we put up over here up in Vegas in the sportsbook. We have over under. Seasons Nick Saban will coach 5.5 over under. Will he retire? We have, when will Alabama's head coach retire? After the 29th season, 22nd season, 2026 and beyond. We'll put anything. We'll have NBA draft odds probably coming up, probably Monday, Tuesday. I'll work on that all weekend long. But yeah, anything that's hitting the social media wire and the media wire, I'm going to put odds on something about it.
So down the line, I could put money on, I could get odds on Dabo Sweeney being a replacement for Nick Saban?
You know, it's funny because we put these Nick Saban odds up 2 weeks ago, And everyone keeps on asking, well, who, why don't you make a list of who's going to replace Nick Saban? And I saw, I think after I'm done with the NBA draft odds and a Stranger Things Netflix TV series odds, I think I'm going to have to move a list of who's going to replace Nick Saban in Alabama.
You know, staying on the gridiron on the NFL side, the Saints have just finished their mini camp, their off-season work. So now it's just, you know, waiting for training camp, hoping everybody stays out of trouble and everybody stays healthy till they get to training camp. Black and gold, you're over under number and their odds to taking the Lombardi Trophy.
Well, they're -180 to win their conference. I mean, to win their division. That division stacked. I think everyone improved, including the Saints. I think the Saints improved from last year. We have total season wins at 10.5. It's pretty much flat. Getting outstanding two-way action. For every three over bets, we're getting two under bets. So we're getting really, really good two-way action on the Saints. Now, are they going to win that Super Bowl? That's a different story when it comes to that. For me, I think we might see maybe a dark horse Super Bowl winner. You know what? For some reason, I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they've had the most probably headaches of coming in, of getting rid of pretty much all their offense. And all they do is just win 9, 10, 11 wins season after season, injuries after injuries. I think, give me Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 27-1 to win a Super Bowl. Give me them.
You know, on the other side, on the AFC, a lot of people are high on Kansas City. Obviously, they've already absorbed the Kareem Hunt loss. It looks like Tyreek Hill is not going to be prosecuted by the civil authorities. From what I've read, there's not the evidence of people willing to testify. Roger Goodell hasn't spoken, but where do you see Kansas City this year and Pat Mahomes' second year as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if he has any kind of a sophomore slump. I mean, they're second to win the AFC Conference. They're +375. Of course, Tom Brady and his rings that he has on his toes right now are 3-1. Don't sleep on the Chargers and don't sleep on the Colts. The Colts were really, really surprising last year. And I know everyone wants to talk about the Cleveland Browns. We have them 7-1. I think that's the reason why they're 7-1 is because of the amount of money that has come in on Cleveland all summer long. I like Kansas City, but I also like the Indianapolis in the AFC.
On the line with Rafael Esparza at DocSports.com. Rafael, how do people access your information, your services? Just going online?
Yeah, you can look at all my crazy betting odds that I do over at mybookie.ag, and you can see all my articles and betting stuff I do over at DocSports.com.
Rafael, thank you so much for your time, guy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a fantastic weekend.
All right. Thank you, Rafael Esparza. The website is DocSports.com. That's DocSports.com. And, you know, it's never too early to talk about those over-unders. I know they've been out for a while, but with this training camp, mini camps out of the way, it's all looking toward the black and gold. Along with Renee Nato, Jordan Kleber, Joey at the helm of the mothership. I'm Mark Shafisi. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
The NASCAR Report is sponsored by Rogers Parts, your locally owned Napa Auto Parts stores. Sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Joey Logano won the pole, led a race high 163 laps and won stage 1 and 3 to take the victory in the Rain Delay Cup Series race at Michigan in dominating fashion Monday evening. Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Daniel Suarez, and Kyle Busch completed the top 5. With 11 races remaining in the regular season, Joey Logano holds a 9-point edge over Kyle Busch in the Cup Series standings. 7-time champ Jimmy Johnson has a 3-point advantage over Ryan Newman for the final spot in the postseason. Defending champ Tyler Reddick grabbed his third win of 2019 in the Xfinity race Saturday. And making his first NASCAR Series start since 2016, Greg Biffle won the Truck Series race at Texas Friday night. The Cup Series has Father's Day weekend off. However, the Truck and Xfinity Tours are in action at Iowa Speedway. The truck race goes green Saturday night at 7:45, while the Xfinity race takes the green Sunday evening at 4:45. And Wednesday, Nationwide announced they will no longer sponsor Hendrick Motorsports following 2019. The company will continue to have a NASCAR presence by continuing its partnership with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and hosting hospitality at select events. Bringing you up to speed, I'm Will Rabb reporting for ESPN New Orleans.
This NASCAR report has been sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts, serving the local area for over 50 years. Sponsor of the Chase Elliott No. 9 car in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Napa
Know-How. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa auto parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know-How.
Hi, Buster Olney here, and my friends at Marathon are really helping you save, because right now you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Playing a little Stevie Wonder here on the Sports Hangover. I'm Mark Schifisi along with Renee Nader, also in studio, Jordan Kleber. It is the Sports Hangover. The number is the... Jump into the game, 800-998-1003. That's 800-998-1003. Next hour, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, and Mike Triplett, ESPN. He covers the black and gold. Right now, back to the guest lines. Former Shaw Eagle, West Jefferson Buck, LSU Tiger, and New Orleans Saint, Marlon Favorite. Marlon, thank you so much for joining us.
Man, Mark, Renee, man, thank y'all so much for having me. What's up, George? Hello, somebody in New Orleans. Talk to me, baby.
Marlon, how you doing, buddy? I miss you. Marlon, let me ask you something.
I miss you too, bro.
What's the first thing I ask you? I was telling Mark. First thing I ask you when I see Marlon, how's mom and daddy? That's the first thing I ask you before, how you doing?
All the time, man, since the early 2000s, Mr. Renee always asked about my parents, man. They're doing well, brother. If I had my dad energy, man, I'd probably be able to give Coach Sean Payton a good 20-30 snap.
How's the family? How's the babies?
Man, they're doing well, Mr. Renee, man. The wife's doing fine. My oldest son is at De La Salle right now, playing receiver. Little Marlon's going to third grade. 3 months now, man. So me and Tanisha, we're just blessed, man. And, man, everything's going fine. How about your family? Everybody been
We're doing great. You have a happy Father's Day. I got to ask you this. You know, they coming out with the projections for who the starting lineups may be up at LSU. And I'm going to ask you this because so much has been made. I know you know both of these guys. So much has been made about Apu Aika, how good he's going to be this year, and they projecting him to maybe be a starter as a true freshman. And on the flip side, Cordell Thomas, as the kid came in, you know, and they're thinking he may man that guard position as a true freshman. How tough is it at LSU in the SEC to come in as a true freshman lineman, offense or defense, and be in on the first snap in September? That's really, really tough, isn't it?
Oh, that's tough, Mr. Renee, man. Think about it like this. Me and Glenn Dorsey, we didn't just jump right off of the porch. We rotated in. It was a few games where Glenn was, you know, where he may have been a starter or what have you, but for the most part, we had to utilize that time to develop, to be able to develop, for sure, man. So, you know, anytime a player can come in and you know, become a starter as a freshman, like what Leonard Fournette did was huge. You know, that doesn't really happen a lot. So, it would say a lot about a player's maturity for sure.
On the line is former LSU Tiger Marlon Favorite. Marlon, from your time in Baton Rouge with the Tigers, you know, your time when in the NFL, trying to make NFL rosters, this time of the year where the offseason works out and you're waiting for fall camp, what is an athlete doing? What did you do at this time of the year when you're kind of in between preparing for the next season?
Well, right now you definitely want to, you know, be in your offseason training. You are doing workouts at LSU or whatever your prospective college is or pro team. You're doing workouts right now with that particular team, but you also want to be able to put in the extra work as well. It may be something coach may have told you you need to work on. Like for me, I remember it was always, hey, Marlon, I think you need to go do some yoga lattes. Definitely get your conditioning up. My strength was always okay, but, you know, get your conditioning up. We want you to come back at this weight. So right now, a player wants to make sure his weight is where the coach wants it to be, the, you know, and that staff. And he want to make sure that he's doing what they say, the necessary things that they say, work on certain get parts of your technique. Man, you're overextending your steps, things like that. And you'll get with, like, a conquer sports pros, like what me and Skyler do, and work on those particular things to make you better going back into that fall camp. So right now it's just putting the icing on the cake for the season, making sure your weight is where it needs to be, making sure that you're working on your technique and flexibility.
Marlon, for the CBS, I guess a month, 6 weeks ago, came out, I guess, with a tentative TV schedule for college football games this year. And really, probably for the first time in 8-9 years, LSU Alabama, they didn't have it slotted as that primetime game at night. It could still wind up being there, I'm sure. And that's obvious because since the championship game, you know, 7-8 years ago, it hasn't really been a competitive series for the final score. Are the Tigers on the right track to closing that gap? If not, what do they have to do to close that gap with the guys in Tuscaloosa?
Well, I think it starts right where my podcast, Inside the Trenches, it starts right there, man, with this particular team in this era. And the coaching staff knows that. I talk to them a lot. Coach O knows that we have to continue to improve this line, and we did over the years. Brandon Fajoco, the amazing defensive tackle up front, Rashard Lawrence, you know, has the ability to be the next Glenn Dorsey in the regards of you know, decorated defensive tackles. So when you start looking at where this line, you know, you'll get Caleb Von Schaff, Chase Arm back off of injury, and the recruiting. You know, that's really where it starts, Mark, man, keeping the talent in Louisiana. You know, Mr. Rene will tell you this. Those years, you know, we came out 04, 03, 04, you know, even 02 with the Scholar Greens. You know, you were able to keep all of those guys in state. Early Doucette, he stayed in state. Craig Stelz, he stayed in state. Me and Glenn, Tyson Jackson, you know, we were able to keep that homegrown talent here. So now it's more of a prideful play, right? You're able to play, you know, for and it intensified. You know, we say this all the time. We did the induction for Coach Miles into Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and me and Glenn, we chopped it up for a while. We were talking, man, stay, bro. We worked hard, but we weren't as athletic and talented as some of these guys, you know, in recent years for LSU. But what we did that separated us from a lot of guys, the work ethic and, you know, what we took to the coaching. So I think Coach Ed Ogeron is bringing that tradition back one guy at a time, winning through recruiting. I know it's a big part of the rebuilding that team. And from there, I think that LSU-Alabama game will be a little more competitive. And at the same time, lastly here, as I wrap up on that question, you have to look at Alabama losing to Clemson this year too. So I don't want to say Alabama's stock went down, but you know, it might have inched a little bit towards South. So it'll be interesting in seeing how those two teams perform leading into that game to see if it'll pick up a primetime show.
Marlon, last question, a couple of minutes. You touched on it a little bit. Losing Greedy Williams and Devin White, how good can this defense be? Will they take a step backwards, or can they be better than they were last year?
I think this team can actually be a little better, or if not the same. Greedy Williams, definitely a lockdown corner. But now you have Derek Stingley, a kid, Mr. Renee, you know, we watched as a prep high school cornerback, really turned some heads. You see a lot of similarities with Patrick Peterson in terms of the upper body strength and the speed and the ability to cover one-on-one. It's huge, man. That's what Greedy Williams, where he excelled at, you know, winning his one-on-one battles. So I think that's huge. Aside from that being a huge element as well, you look at that linebacker position and Devin White, who ran sideline to sideline really good, did an excellent job for the Tigers, specifically the last 2 years. But you have Michael Divinity, a kid right here from the West Bank of New Orleans who has stepped into that leadership role for the Tigers. So he, you know, when I would go into the locker room before the games and talk with those guys, they were always together. Devin was always getting hyped for the game and vice versa. So when you have that type of chemistry on defense, that carries on, is infectious, it carries on to the next year. So I think this team has an opportunity to be even better.
Hey, Marlon, that's a band pushing us out. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you down the line.
Take care, fella.
Marlon, thank you.
All right, that is Marlon's favorite. Along with Renee Nader, I'm Mark Shafisa. You're listening to the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.